Good day, and welcome to Good Heavens with Ryan Evans, your monthly minimum requirement for astrological observation and edification. Welcome to our new Taurus moon, exact on May 7th, 2024. That would be Tuesday at 10:21 and 36 seconds p.m. in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin. This new moon is happening on the heels of the great once-every-14-year occurrence of a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. We will talk about that in depth. Moreover, this new moon is also in a sextile to Saturn in Pisces, right on the heels of an eclipse in Aries. So what does it all mean, man? What's it all about? It's pretty interesting. The other day, I gave a little talk on solar eclipses, and there was one individual in the audience who was like, yes, but what does it all mean? And it's very interesting, because quite often, that's what we want from astrology. Come on, man, tell me what's gonna happen. Come on, tell me which horse to pick. Come on, tell me the winning numbers. Because as an astrologer, you obviously know the future. If I knew the future, man, I'd be sitting in the Cayman Islands collecting 20%. But I don't. To know the future, like to open up a book and say, looking ahead on page 126, it looks like Joey is gonna kill Billy over a chicken. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. And anyone, an astrologer especially, who can tell you what exactly is going to happen in any moment in the future is a person from whom you must run. The reason being is because this universe exists as a field of potential. It's not until we come to the present moment where the chaos settles. It's like the famous double slit experiment. I want to say that was way back in the 1800s. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Call 1-800, you know, WDRT, correct answers. Actually, that doesn't exist. Don't call that. But so in the double slit experiment, a beam of light was shot through two slits in like cardboard or wood or something and projected onto, I believe it was X-ray film. And so when individuals looked at it, the light, the photons hit the screen in these little bands equal to the slit that they were shown through. But when they were not observed, they were not looked at, when human intention was not projected upon it, the light photons were all scattered. Crazy. And basically what that meant is that the observer has an effect on that which is observed. Whoa, quantum physics. You mean just by observing something, it slows down the electron spin and brings it into form? Maybe. Just by observing something or calling something such, it becomes that? Well, welcome to astrology. By observing the moon, by projecting meaning onto that which we observe, the moon thusly takes on the qualities of our projection. Maybe you've experienced that in relationship. Oh, I've been so wounded and I've been so hurt and people backstab me. And even though you're super nice and super kind, you're probably going to backstab me too. So I'm going to do everything I can to elicit and instigate your stabbing me in the back. And then I'm like, whoa, what's happening, man? You just stabbed me in the back. I guess I expected that. Yeah. Welcome to manifestation. And so in astrology, we're playing, we're experimenting with, we're consciously engaging this quantum realm where the observer has an effect on that which is observed. That when we observe the astrology, when we observe the new moon, say when we observe a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and inject intention on it or into it, there's a slight little better chance of it coming into the manifestation that we project. We set intention. And the way it's set up is not anything like, okay, all I've got to do is like ask, believe, receive, and just put a sticky note on my bathroom mirror that says, you know, you are rich and gosh darn it, people like you. You know, that doesn't necessarily always work because we could be operating from a place of people don't like me, so I have to look at this thing that tells me that people like me, and I'm looking at this thing that people like me, and I'm coming from a place of them not liking me, so it's not like it's actually going to work. But the idea is co-creation. The idea is, okay, universe, I'm going to put a sticky note on my bathroom mirror that says people like me. And you know what? I'm going to hold the intention. You know, I'm likable. You know, and gosh darn it, you know, it really would be a great idea for people to respond in a healthy way to me. And you know what? I'm going to act in a way that would instigate their treating me well. And then we go out into the world with this kind of attitude, and there's a good possibility that people are going to treat us well. And so it's like that with astrology. Oh, you have a Leo moon. Well, how do you choose? Now you know that. How do you choose to use that? Are you going to be like, well, Leo is the sign of the king, and therefore I'm the king, and you get to do what I say? Or are we going to say, well, that is one of the archetypes, one of the possible expressions of Leo, but really Leo is about the noble king. You know, if we have that much power, if we have that much radiance, then it becomes a responsibility to, quote, care for our subjects and protect them from marauders and tax them fairly. Give them fields to grow in. You know, the good king, yay, we love you, king. The bad king, yeah, Leo moon, both are possible. And so since we may know that, then we say, okay, I have the power of choice. I can choose to resonate and vibrate at a level most congruent with the happiest expression of a Leo moon, as opposed to the shadow expressions of a Leo moon. We can even become aware of it when we express that shadow. We can say, oh, am I feeling a little megalomaniacal? Maybe I should keep that in check, like a good Leo moon. And instead, use my energy more nobly. And so that's what we do with astrology. We take the knowledge of it being a new Taurus moon, conjoined Uranus and Jupiter, and Venus for that matter, and we project meaning onto it. And we say, hey, this is the best of all possible expressions of what's going on. Can you choose to tune your guitar to that frequency? If you can tune your guitar to that frequency, if you can tune your attitude, emotions, if your outlook, your mindset, your heart set, if you can tune that to the best of all possible expressions of a new Taurus moon, then there's a greater probability of those happy, engaged, vibrationally potent intentions coming into manifestation. If we engage... oh, yeah, it's a Taurus. Oh, yeah, he's talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Oh, yeah, it happens every 14 years. Yeah, I remember when it happened in 1941. We were deciding whether or not to side with the Nazis or the Russians. And as a matter of fact, and this is a fact, it was Harry Truman, who later became president, who was a senator at the time, and on the floor of the Senate, and you can research this, on the floor of the Senate, Harry Truman said, well, if the Russians are winning, we should side with the Nazis, and if the Nazis are winning, we should side with the Russians. Yeah, that's an actual quote from the dude who later dropped a nuclear bomb. So, kids and campers, it's very, very, very important that we set some really great intentions here at this time because of, well, history. We'll explore that in a little bit. So here we are. On 91.9 FM, WDRT, Viroqua. Talking about May 7th at 10:21 p.m., the new Taurus moon. So, first let's talk a little bit about new moons. What's up? What are we doing here? Why are we setting intentions on new moons? What kind of dark black magic are you trying to project on us, astrologer? And I'm like, black magic is where we use the forces for our own selfish purposes in order to gain more control, more power, more clout, more influence over other people. Power over, control over. Haha, I get to master this three-dimensional world and the rest of the people in it can... dot, dot, dot. That's black magic, kids and campers. But beautiful, happy, white or light magic, it's called love. Yeah, the most magical force in the universe. Love. Yeah, believe it or not. And you know what's cool? It really works. You know, when we vibrate at a level, when we hold in our being, when we hold in our heart and our mind and our emotions, when we hold the feeling of gratitude, whoa, then anything's possible because no matter what happens, we are dot, dot, dot grateful. And that's the answer. Do I even need to go see an astrologer? No. You don't, as long as you're dot, 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 grateful for every moment of everything, of every thing that ever happens to you. It's the gratitude. That's where the magic is. Because when we're in a place of gratitude, when we are vibrating at the level of gratitude, man, when we are in this place, that's like the most resonant frequency in the universe. Oh, come on, Mr. Astrologer. That's just conjecture. You can't prove that. No, I can't prove that. But you know what? It feels right. And so what we do here with new moons in general is we set intention. We say, okay, this is universe. This is my feeling of the best of all possible worlds. It's not like quite like saying, is that okay with you? It's more like, all right, I'm telling the universe what I need. I'm telling the universe what I want. And here's the other part. The universe has its own agenda. I have to believe, and it is a belief, I will own that. But I have to believe that the universe knows what it's doing. I have to believe that if supernovas happen out there in the galaxy somewhere far, far away, then those are meant to happen. If we sell everything and move to California and say, and you might say to yourself, oh my God, what have I done? And we got to move back to Wisconsin. There is a meaning and there is a purpose. Sold the farm, lost all the money. Oh God, oh, what the hell's going on? Nope, there's a purpose. There's a reason. And yeah, oh yeah, there's a great reason. I'm here. And so we don't always know what the universe has in store. But it's really important when the universe knows what we want it to have in store, where we are at, where what's important for us in our happiness, in our evolution, and in our divine task of anchoring heaven on earth. In our divine task, again, this is all my opinion, but in our divine task of making this world a beautiful garden. In fact, if someone were to ask me, what's the meaning of life? To love, to offer and share love, spread love, be the love. Well, why? Well, why not? Because anyone who's ever experienced a whole bunch of love for absolutely no reason knows that it's like the best thing ever. And again, it comes from that one word, dot, 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 gratitude. Wow, I'm so grateful. You know why? Because I can breathe. Not everybody can. I used to be, knock on wood, asthmatic. I know the sacredness of each breath. Yes, it was a gift, actually, from the universe that I was asthmatic, that the universe taught me just how important it is to breathe. Ah, gratitude. Gratitude for breath. Gratitude for my body. Gratitude for existing. So when new moons come around, this is a perfect, magnificent, amazing, and beautiful time to say, hey, here I am. I exist. I'm so incredibly grateful for where I am right now, what I have right now, and the development and potential, the potential development of my life heretofore. And so we feel where we are. We let go, basically, of where we've been. We say, here I am now, and what is it that I need? And where do I want to go? And most importantly, how do I want to proceed? In what manner do I want to proceed? And all of this is encapsulated in what we could call a new moon intention. And we say, all right, yeah, I just finished a cycle of Aries and I found myself motivated and actually kind of crazy with all the stuff I had to do. And now we come to the new moon in Taurus and it's a different feeling. There's a different intention. And so the idea is that we set intention at this time. That's that intention we put out to the universe. Again, without expectation. All right, universe, I want a Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, quarter pounder French fries, icy Coke, thick shake, sundae and apple pie tomorrow at 4 p.m. No, the universe is like, who's this fool? No, we say, universe, I am so grateful that I have the ability to eat. Some people don't. So therefore, I'm just going to thank you in advance for what this beautiful earth is providing for me, and it is my intention to continue to use what resources I have and share those with others in the hopes of encouraging their happiness. Wow, the universe is like, hey, this person really knows what's up. All right, let's support them in that. I don't know. I'm anthropomorphizing spirit, which is way beyond humans. So I don't know. We make this up. All of astrology, we make up. It's all made up based on our observations of what actually is nature, like elements like water, it flows downhill, and fire, it consumes if there's fuel. All these very obvious natural law and natural laws and natural rules. All we do in astrology is just make a poem out of it all. And then anthropomorphize it, you know, make them human, or imagine what that poem can mean for us. So the poetry of life, there's astrology. And what we want to do is we want to get into that poetry and feel whatever energy is being conveyed, whatever emotion is being conveyed in the poetry of that song. And then we dance with that. We resonate with that. We entrain to that. It's called being in the flow. It's called feeling the vibe, man. And it's really actually quite simple. It's called nature. And nature is really obvious. And there's a really obvious flow to nature. There's a really obvious cycle to nature. Indisputable. You plant a seed and it germinates. If it's a viable seed, it germinates. And then it grows. And then it blossoms, considering it, you know, it's healthy. Then it blossoms, and then it sets seed, and then the seed falls to the ground, and the cycle repeats. There is the description of all of astrology, all of fiction, every movie you've ever seen. A seed is planted, it's come into full blossom. It recedes and plants new seeds. This song, this story, this cycle, it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's in the growth cycle of a plant. It's in the growth cycle of a human. It's in the growth cycle of a business. It's in the growth cycle. It's in the storyline of a song. It's in every book. And so we open up chapters. And we say, this is what this chapter is about. It's called a season. And each chapter is different. Each season is different. We come to winter. We come to Capricorn season. That's a completely different story than, let's turn the page to Leo. And it's the height of summer. There's two different obvious two different things going on there. In fact, in terms of survival motivation, there are definite differences in the motivations for survival between it's cold as heck and I'd better be conservative with my wood Capricorn compared to it's hot as heck in Leo season, and I better find some, you know, I'm glad I saved some ice from Capricorn season so I can have some refreshing lemonade. Leo. They're different songs. We don't sing. I'm sorry. I mean, unless you board a plane and go to the tropics or something. In Capricorn season, we're not singing, the Country Time lemonade jingle. We're not putting up the hammock and laying in the sun outside naked. Chances are that's just not happening in Capricorn season. So there's different songs. So we want to sing the song of the season that we're in. And when we sing the song that we're in the season that we're in, when we're doing what the dictates of the season, then We are, quote, in alignment. It is Taurus season. We plant seeds. We till the soil. We get into the earth. We get agricultural, yo. We get into the garden. The lilac are blooming. Need I say anything else? The lilac are not blooming in Capricorn season. They're just not. So we're not singing, as much in Capricorn season. But guess what we're singing right now? In fact, try that now. Let's do that together, class. Yeah, now you know Taurus. Because we are in that season of we're in the season of the lilac blooming. We're in the season of the earth saying, yes, I am fertile. Thank you, Scorpio, in the death of your compost. And we say, Taurus says, I have fertile soil. Plant in me. It's delicious and yummy. Like the flowers blooming. Like the tulips and daffodils and lilac and viburnum. So the idea is we want to catch that wave, man. We want to ride that wave. So observing the truths of Taurus season. What is true about Taurus season? What will every single farmer or gardener agree with regarding Taurus season? What is indisputable about Taurus season? What is inarguable? What is incontrovertible about Taurus season? And I've already said some things. The ground is thawed. Now just think about that. And in fact, let's make that into a poem. Let's put the whole thing in quotes. Let's anthropomorphize. Let's say that there's a part of you that is the ground. Now let me say that. The ground has thawed. It is warm and fertile. Okay, can you feel that in your body? That's truth. That's indisputable. That's actually astrology. The ground is thawed and the ground is fertile. The flowers are blooming. Earth is awakening in all of her luscious beauty. You feel that in your body? There's a part of all of us that is thawed. There's a part of us that is awakening in our beauty. There is a part of us that feels that hope, that not even hope. I mean, that feeling of we're already there, man. That yeah. In fact, that was a little too excitable. That was like a yay. No, this is more of a. Feeling of Taurus. And so we come to a new moon. I'll get back to the Taurus in a little bit, but why a new moon? What's up with that, yo? Why don't we do it at a full moon? Why don't we set intentions at a full moon? Full moons pull everything up. Wouldn't it want to pull my intention up? Nope, that's not when we plant seeds. We plant seeds as soon as we think of the intention that comes to us is our planting of the seed. Whether or not we stick that seed into the soil, our choice, our decision, our commitment to say, I will plant a seed, there's the first seed planted. And once we make that choice, once we make that decision, once we make that commitment, we've got to follow through on it. Regardless of external pressures or outside influences. And then we become enthusiastic about it. And then we become really hopeful about it. And then we imagine what the garden's going to look like. And then we burst through the ground into Aries season. Then we burst through the ground, and that seedling must fight for its survival. Our intention must find its path in the world of the manifest. How do we make this manifest? How do we get our intention out there? How do I say, yep, here I am, this is it, I'm going, this is what I'm doing, this is the way to go? Aries. But that seedling makes it through. After getting slammed down in the rain and the wind, after being attacked by little rabbits that want to devour us, Aries, our stem begins to strengthen. Our roots dive more deeply. Our leaves unfurl larger to the sun. And we use the resources in the earth and draw them into us. And we use the resources of the sunlight, and we use that for energy. And we grow and we strengthen and we grow and we strengthen using our resources from long ago, from Capricorn season, from having the intention to plant the seed in the first place. Here we are, a manifestation of that intention that is growing like the waxing moon. It's growing and it's building. We come to Taurus season. And so here's the sun now in Taurus season. Now, the moon moves through all of the seasons in a month. And so a month is about one circumnavigation of the moon around the seasons. And now that the sun is in its season of Taurus, and the moon is coming back around through the season of Taurus, about to conjoin the moon, it's the first time this year, May 7th, that the sun and moon are both conjoined in Taurus. The sun, astrologically, I mean, where would we be without it? The sun holds everything together. Without the sun, there is no solar system. What, are we all going to revolve around Mars? Jupiter, it did not have quite enough mass to become a star. Almost. We almost lived in a binary star system. So would everything revolve around Jupiter? Maybe for a little while, but there's no light, man. There's no energy. There's no life. Force. And without the moon, well, the moon is what tilts the earth on its axis. And since the earth is tilted on its axis and wobbles, we have seasons. And thanks to the seasons, we have the pulse and the rhythm and the heartbeat and the ebb and flow. I don't know if life could have been created on this planet without that ebb and flow, without that pulse, without that heartbeat. That's the moon. So the sun can astrologically represent our outer being, who we need to be, like an essence of everything that we are. You know, hey, it's shiny and bright. People can see it. I'm a Sagittarius. There is no, yep, people can call me philosopher or preacher or teacher or whatever, and I guess they're right. I guess I'm in the Sagittarian box. Oh, well. That's the season I was born in. The season of synthesizing all the experience of the entire year into some nugget of wisdom to plant for next year. That's Sagittarius. But the sun and moon come together. That's that. The moon is our heart, the heartbeat, right? The pulse, the flow. We can call it our soul, and we can call sun spirit. And when soul and spirit, when our outer being and our inner feeling come together, we have alignment with who we are and what we feel, with how we engage in the world and the interior feeling motivations that instigate that. Some could say it's our heart and our head, although the mind is actually reflected in Mercury. Sun can be our will, our power, our energy. I mean, it makes us get out of bed in the morning. I'm a Sagittarius. What makes me get out of bed in the morning is writing a daily post for my CSA members. And they want to hear some good news. And Sagittarius is often the one to preach it. Guess I gotta wake up every day. But that's my sun. That's the sun. Makes us want to get up every day. The moon reflects how we feel about it all. Are we going to choose happiness? So the sun wants us to choose happiness. Or the moon. Bleh, the moon is a reflection of our choice towards happiness. So when the sun and moon come together, the inner and outer come together, there's an alignment. And when there is an alignment like this, there's a new beginning. When there's a new beginning, a conjunction, that's where we set the intention. All right, here we go. And since the moon takes 29 days to go around the zodiac, this sets an intention for the next 28, 29 days. Until the next new moon. So we want to look at the qualities of each new moon because it's the universe's way of trying to communicate with us. You know, Moses came down from, you know, what was it? Oh, geez, Mount Sinai? God, it's been a long time since Sunday school. But Moses came down with these 15 crash. 10 commandments, Monty Python reference. That other tablet, that was all the astrological archetype. This is the universe trying to speak to you pitiful humans who can't take any of my other signs or messages. So therefore, I'm just going to write it plain as day in the astrological archetypology. Maybe you'll get it. Oh, Moses. Your slippery fingers. Darn it. Now we astrologers have to contend with Rush Limbaugh. Oh well. But here we are. New moon in Taurus. Incredibly important. What's so important about this? Well, it's a new moon. It's time to set intention for the next cycle. But one of the amazing things about this cycle is that it's conjoined the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction of April 20th. April 20th at 22 degrees of Taurus, Jupiter and Uranus came into a conjunction. It does so every 14 years. Jupiter makes everything bigger. Uranus is change or chaos. Sometimes crazy, chaotic things can happen to make things change for the better. Sometimes during conjunctions, Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions, magic can happen. Sometimes tragedy can happen. 1941, should we support the Nazis or the Russians? 1955, the birth of rock and roll, man. 1969, theoretically, we put a man on the moon. We also had Woodstock. One of the summers of love. Okay, you kind of see that? See, what can happen? When else? And I'm just going from memory here. 1997, I believe. The expansion of the internet. Whoa. 2010, we had the Arab Spring. Okay. And now here we are. What's happening? War in Gaza. War in Ukraine. But I would expect something else to happen. Or something else happening. Taurus. The Earth. And the Earth is waking up. And we are waking up to our need to treat this planet as we would want to treat our body. And so my hope, my projection, I guess, is that, I don't know, sometime this year, and this is where we get predictive, you know, so it's like my tongue is in my cheek and, you know, everything I say here is, quote, like I really know. But could you imagine like a free energy device coming to market or allowed to be in market where you could just plug it into your wall and flip a switch and it taps into the ionosphere and we have free unlimited energy forever? And it's only like a $35 thing. Could you imagine how the world would change? Could you imagine how the world would change if every major fault line ripped apart? Yeah, that would be intense. But we would have to get really, really connected, reconnected with the Earth in order to survive. We would have to localize food production. Wouldn't that be so beautiful? I dream about that. In fact, let's take a moment to dream about that. Localized food production, where the city of Minneapolis can feed the city of Minneapolis from food grown within the city limits of the city of Minneapolis. Oh, that's impossible, Ryan. Ever heard of vertical gardening? How about the lawn removal society? Yeah, rip up the grass, plant some tomatoes. How many rooftops are there in the city? There's all your solar power. There's some raised beds. Think it's impossible? Absolutely not. Take out a bunch of cars from some of those side streets and fill them with sheep. Let the cows run. I mean, there are possibilities. We humans, I appreciate all of the ecological panic out there, but we have more than enough farmland. We're just misusing it. There's more than enough space on this planet for all the humans. We're just misusing it. There's more than enough food produced on this planet to feed the planet 15 times. We're just misusing it. So one of my projections on the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus-Earth, the big Earth changes, my best of all possible hopes for this time of our lives is that we begin to integrate some of this awesomeness. Oh, yeah, I can grow more food. Boom, there you go. I would invite everyone to rip out their lawns and grow food. And guess what? The world would change pretty quickly in a very beautiful way. But that's my intention. That's my hope. And so when we get to Taurus season, what do we want our intentions to be? Well, first off, we want our intentions to be, you know, almost daily, if not hourly, listening to 91.9 FM WDRT, Viroqua, Wisconsin. But besides that, Taurus, what is the plant doing? The plant is using the resources in its soil, in its past, in its interior. And it's also utilizing the resources in its above ground growth, the solar energy. And it's utilizing both. It's taking in the wisdom of the underworld and the magic of the above world and bringing it into itself. Strengthening it. Helping it to grow. So our best of all possible intentions is to use what resources we have. Oh, Ryan, but all I got is a lampshade and a thermos. Awesome. That's where you start. So you use whatever resources you have, whatever ground you are growing in, and you open up your proverbial solar panels. You open up that part of you which can take in energy. You open up your leaves to the sun, and you bring in that energy. You use the resources of other people, other wisdom. Ask for help. In order to strengthen who we are. So this is a time, this is a period of an intention of using what we have to strengthen ourselves. As we say, So where do we need to use our resources to build and strengthen ourselves? And at the same time, be in a place of gratitude, be in a place of acceptance, be in a place where we can do something with and for our body that says, we just went through Aries, man. We just went through hardcore intensity. Our plant self just burst through the proverbial soil and fended off the rabbits and strengthened ourselves in the wind and the rain. And now we can say, for a minute. So take some time, set an intention to go do something or find some way to say, restore some equilibrium into your body. Get connected with your body. Do some yoga. Go for a walk. Play in the garden. Pick some flowers. Because this life is sacred. So set the intention for setting yourself up for the rest of your year. Because this is a time that is our new moon in Taurus. Not going to have another one for another year. So for the next year, to find methodologies, to find ways and means of promoting more in our being. Oh, Ryan, but I can't. I've got to go do this thing and all this thing and the kids and the play and the graduation and all this stuff. All the more reason to find ways and means to say, And here's the beautiful thing. When we can do that, or as we can do that, that relaxes the body, that calms our nervous system, that reduces our stress, and then offers an ability for whatever magic downloads, whatever spiritual inspiration, or whatever creative insights to come into our being, because we're not in a state of, oh my God, I've got to do this, and therefore I'm repelling everything external that is not congruent with what I have to do right now. Because right now we can say, just even for a second, So some of us are doing this in the realm of, we've got to make that choice. We have to choose to empower ourselves to say, because nobody's going to give us the time to say, so we've got to claim it. So for 1/12 of us, claiming our is incredibly important. We might have to look selfish. And guess what? That's okay. Others of us are finding the in the things that we do, like music or art. These are beautiful. Walking, being in nature, doing actual physical three-dimensional things which help us say, that's very important. And in order to do that, we have to feel like we deserve it. So for another 12th of us, it's admitting to ourselves that we get to say, Moreover, we also get to use our resources to promote and strengthen ourselves. Another 12th of us is learning how to feel comfortable in our minds. Maybe we've been totally berserk lately. Maybe things have been crazy. Maybe there's been so much. Oh my God, all these things are going to happen. And it's very important for our mind to go, So some of us, 1/12th of us, it's very important that we do what we can to take time out of mind, where we're not thinking about everything so much. And so there are less sophisticated ways to numb and calm the mind. I wouldn't recommend them. I'd recommend things like meditation, again, going for walks. In fact, everybody on the planet, go for a freaking walk, smell some flowers. But for that third of us, for whom Taurus shows up in the third house, that 12th of us is needing to calm our mind and to set an intention of moving forward, doing things, having our activity, having our experiences, but from a place of Not only that, but using the resources and gifts of our mind, of our knowledge and experience, in order to promote the There's another 12th of us who really needs to, I'm not going to say check out, because that could very easily be misinterpreted as escapism. This is more about checking in, like retreating in. Like, okay, walk in nature. All right, I'm getting in the car and I'm driving 4 hours to the National Forest and I'm going to really get in to relaxing and saying, by really getting in contact with my internal heart. And for 1/12th of us, that is so very necessary, because there are resources and richness to be found in that heart that we would not be able to access if we did not get out of Dodge and go back to the farm or go into the land or go into the woods, go down to the river, go down to the lake, down to the ocean, and spend a minute going, Another 12th of us, those of us with Taurus in the fifth house, are here to have some freaking fun. Go for not just a walk, go for a bike ride. Go play, go have some romance. Go out to dinner, go wine and dine your beloved. Awesome. Joy, fun. And also creative self-expression can help us say, because for 1/12th of us, those with Taurus in the fifth house, are here to create something beautiful that might help others say, Another 12th of us, those with Taurus in the sixth house, our intention is to do whatever we can to bring the to every single waking moment from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. I'm chopping wood. I'm carrying water. I'm telling a customer that they're being offensive. Every waking human, mundane, average moment is worthy of our attention, is worthy of us being in the body, doing what we can to reduce stress and listen to our intuition. For those of us with Taurus in the seventh house, it might be a magnificent, beautiful time to find our awe by having some help, by saying, hey, maybe I could, I see you with a rake. Could I borrow your rake? And I can clean up my yard, and then I can say, ah. And you happen to have the resource of a great neighbor, of a great friend, of a great partner who can be like, yeah, I can help you out with that. Here's a rake. Ah, thank you. Another 12th of us, those with Taurus in the 8th house, are here to set an intention of how absolutely incredibly empowering it can be when we ourselves have an internal stability, an internal strength, where all we need to do is tap into our ancestors. And the sun that our leaves are unfurling to, it's like the power of 12 suns. So we are to empower ourselves in a great way so that we can heal with some ah. And we can find those really true people with who can help us to say ah. That could be anything from deep, rich, sacred intimacy to celebrating God or goddess in a bite of chocolate cake. There's a whole spectrum there. But somewhere in between that, all right, I'm going to set the intention to extract the resources of every one of my progenitors. Because here I am now as the outgrowth of them. I can't let them down. So therefore I am going to be ah. And maybe we need to find our awe on a big major adventure, expanding our mind, expanding our hearts, learning new lessons and synthesizing that into a magnificent lesson that can teach us how to say, ah. Or maybe it's important that we bring our ah out into the world, our art out into the world, our music out into the world. Whatever our resources are, maybe it's time to share them with the world or specific groups of people. Maybe it's really important that we become a stabilizing influence for the classes we teach. And maybe it's really important that we find our awe in some sacred solitary moment on a mountaintop in the monastery on the seaside, where we can let go and allow the three-dimensional world to dissolve into a place where the only thing that actually exists is the great eternal awe, and to align with that. But wherever this new moon falls in your chart, it is an opportunity for all of us to again use our resources, tap into our resources and use them for the promotion of our feeling safe, secure, solid, at ease, and at peace. Set this intention. Let that intention flow throughout the month, because next time you hear from me, things are going to start to get a little more active. So find your peace now, and all will be well. This has been a production of WDRT 91.9 FM Studios. Thanks to Terry O'Connor for producing this show. And we hope to see you next time on Good Heavens. In the meantime, feel free to check out www.ryanevansastrology.com.